Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Yes, it's Tuesday, the 31st of August. Welcome to the Football Ramble. I'm Kate Mason.
I am Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Our colleagues really bringing the sun into the Ramble studio this evening.
Yeah. Bright yellow t-shirt for transfer deadline day.
Do you think
probably.
That's what it is?
Could well be.
Just
could
coincidentally
well be.
Happened. He's just 2 years behind on his colour scheme.
So Sky Sports eschewed the bright yellow a couple of years ago now.
Thought it was a bit showy, probably.
Maybe it did. And you know, the most wonderful time of the year referencing transfer deadline day, I can always remember, and I make no apology for repeating this on this show, Portsmouth were in the League One playoffs. I think Portsmouth were in it, or I was just watching it. And they were about to kick off. And you know, Sky Sports do that thing where they're about to kick off, but they go to an ad break.
Yes.
Just before kickoff. Mm. I believe it's called a solus ad spot for those of you in commercial media sales.
Okay. Solus?
Yeah.
Like the sun as well.
Standalone.
This is a good link.
There
league.
We go.
Go on.
And then when the commentator came back, he was obviously so excited to be doing the League One playoff final. He went, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And I was like, what? Like a random, like, late May weekend in League One playoff.
Oh, come on. The playoff finals are the crown
They're
of
cracking.
Football.
They are great.
My favourite one last
I
year was
them.
The non-league cup final to get Hartlepool up when the keeper scored in the last minute.
Yeah, exactly.
Very nice. That really was the most wonderful time of the year for people from Hartlepool. Right?
Hartlepool doing all right at the moment.
Good.
They're very enjoyable.
Yeah, it's glad to hear
They're doing bloody well, leading this show.
Above Cristiano Ronaldo.
We're going to talk more playoff finals.
semis.
In some months.
In the coming months. But yeah, good to have a bit of sunshine in here. Yeah. On its I thought I was going to say I was bringing it in, but no worries. Oh,
you
about
are.
That.
You are bringing it. You always bring the sunshine, Mace.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, so you're
trying to import it from Croatia.
It's good to have a calming present on my right, but on my left, I don't know what's going to happen.
Mm. You calling that a calming present?
No, I'm not. halfway through the sentence, I realised what I was doing.
You're a man alone on some very turbulent seas right now.
Very alone. I will eat the cabin boy.
Which is Pete in that metaphor?
Finn. Yeah. Producer Finn.
AP Finn, yeah.
Yes, Cristiano Ronaldo. He has officially signed. Some details are now floating about how the deal came about. He basically seems to have made out that he was going to join City as late as 8 a.m. on Friday. So we weren't behind the times. Mm. We weren't on the ramp. And we never are.
Was he just saying the sentence very slowly? I will sign for Manchester.
The delicious wicked whisper is that Cristiano Ronaldo and Jorge Mendes fashioned a kind of Machiavellian way of flushing Man United out by saying we're gonna go to the City and we've got no problem with doing that.
Yeah.
put me on a banner and outside the stadium.
Yeah, and that whipped the Man United hierarchy into action. We can't have this. This is what they were reportedly saying. We cannot have this.
We've got too many pictures of Cristiano Ronaldo around the stadium, which we'll have to remove, and technically that will cost more than 15 million, which is what we're spending outright for Juventus.
I'm a club legend here at Man United, but I am not above using your bitterest rivals who have taken your Premier League crown that has been, you know, historically in the Premier League era, yours. I'm not above using them to get you to give me loads more money.
As well you might.
Which I neither need nor probably deserve.
A lot of silly people on the old, the radio little video, the radio video that radio stations put out, the radio video on Twitter. A lot of like ex-pros sort of going, I mean, he's not the player that he was at Manchester United. I was like, I think he might be a better player than Manchester United, surely.
Well, yeah, because I mean, you say that he was, no, maybe not.
He was on the rise.
By the time he left, he was very, very, very good.
Yeah.
Kate, I hope you don't mind me sort of chipping in with this. Tell us more about the radio video.
Imagine radio with visuals.
It's not been thought of before.
Ergo,
I'm too spitting out my teeth.
It's so simple. Why hasn't anyone thought of it before?
I can see why you would have innovated that, Pete. He's the technical guy.
It's right on his Venn diagram, isn't it?
Mm.
Right,
is it? Do you think so?
Yeah.
What else is in there?
We have not got room for that.
Very naughty words.
It's like, you know, Pete's Venn diagram is like a spirograph. Remember those spirograph you got as a kid?
Yes.
Where it's like this mad
concentric
pattern.
Mad pattern.
And over here there's like car boot sale wrestling figures.
Mm-hmm.
And down here there's like studio tech. And up above here there's Japan. And it's an absolute minefield.
That story about Cristiano Ronaldo and them like toying with Manchester City and then going to Manchester United, you, Luke, have cut to the heart of the whole, you know, bullshit of the day, haven't you, really? That's what they do. All of these agents, and I mean, maybe they're far wiser than me, clearly, because I haven't made any kind of a cut off the move of Cristiano Ronaldo.
Not all of them are far wiser than you.
But yeah, they spend their whole time texting different mates and telling them to say on air that it's this and this is happening.
I think with like
that's the whole point of
modern agencies are so massive, like these are multi-million, billion, trillion pound companies. And you sort of think, will Cristiano Ronaldo have... Will he travel with data? Will he travel with a Michael Owen style little prospectus, a little record of achievement maybe that goes with him? The money that you will make by signing Cristiano Ronaldo, the passes he will not make, the passes he will receive, etc., etc.
Well, there was a crazy fact. I can't remember where it was mentioned. It might have been on the BBC that said that of all the players in Europe who pressure the ball in the final third. Cristiano Ronaldo's in the bottom 2%.
Right, okay.
So there's obviously light and shade to this deal. Now, of course, these days, and I think Marcus referenced it yesterday, Jonathan Wilson's piece on the move and what it means for modern football, what I found very interesting. And he did make the point, which I think is correct, that it's about more than that. I mean, because actually, you could look at this either way. You could look at it, this as almost like a Laurent Blanc type thing, where Man United signed Blanc. He's not that bothered about playing. He's certainly less bothered than Cristiano Ronaldo would be about playing, but he's amazing around the dressing room because he's won the World Cup and he's done all this, that and the other.
Yeah.
And he's an incredible footballing brain and a great influence. Clearly, the way Cristiano Ronaldo has covered himself and carried himself as a player over the years is something that you'd think a lot of the players around that club would like to learn from.
Yeah.
And so he could have a really, really interesting and positive influence. On the other hand, I firmly believe they could have strengthened their squad in other areas and it would have been more effective. But then he's Cristiano Ronaldo. It is a big deal. If he was prepared, as people at Juventus are saying, he was prepared to go to Man City. It was like a big gamble.
Right.
That hoping United would come in, but he was prepared to go to Man City. I don't know what you guys think, but I don't know if Manchester United, for the optics, could really swallow him being at Man City. I think for a club their size, maybe the 20-odd million pound fee and the wages, maybe they just have to do it because the opposite is unpalatable for them.
That's a really interesting way of looking at it. Yeah, I think in terms of the Juventus, I mean, there's been lots of articles written about the Juventus that he's had like a negative impact on Juventus, which, you know, I've got to pay testament to the journalists who are willing to open their Twitter feeds to the violence of the Cristiano Ronaldo fan base.
Sorry, Kate, they're all men, so don't worry about it. They'll be fine. But like Mason Greenwood, we won't see his Wakanda Forever at Celebration. Let's make that very clear for a long time.
So what do you think it means then? It's a good point because if you're Mason Greenwood, it's probably quite mixed emotions because you're probably thinking, look, he's probably the... Cavani's very good, but I think Green was probably the best finisher at the club, right? He's breaking into the first team.
He's seen off his injuries.
It's a great story for him from a playing point of view. He's seen off and he's kind of... You get the feeling with Green, and of course you can never tell, but you get the feeling this could be a breakthrough season for him, right?
Mm.
Could have been.
Yet there Cristiano comes in.
Yeah.
Now, he's obviously mixed emotions because he's going to learn an awful lot, I expect, seeing him on the training ground every day. I've heard people say that Ronaldo's training intensity, even at this age, is unbelievable.
And
that's going to rub off on him. But is it also going to block his path to the first team? Because Ronaldo's going to expect to play. So, yeah, I think it's a really, really interesting move. And I'm fascinated to see how it pans out. Does it make United a better team?
No.
I think people are being too hasty in saying that it does. Yeah. I've heard pundits saying over and over again this week and over the weekend, oh, well, now all of a sudden United are definitely title contenders. I don't think it's as simple as that.
Does it not just distract everyone talking about Paul Pogba for a bit? Because that'll be the question. If you bench Cristiano Ronaldo, that's all anyone's going to be talking about.
That's exactly
however
it.
He performs.
You talk about the influence in the dressing room. Okay, that's, you know, it's not dissimilar to the idea of signing Gareth Bale at Spurs, although, of course, he wasn't a man in great shape when he arrived there. But in terms of being able to have influence in the dressing room, yeah, okay, we'll assume he's got that pedigree that Luke has just... We'll assume. We know he's got that pedigree that Luke has just talked about. But equally, he's not going to be saying, oh, go on then, Mason, have yourself... Yeah, you know, I'm backing you to get on in there and have...
No.
Have your best 60 minutes or whatever.
You are still bringing
in
a player that's 41 when his contract runs out.
I also think that, you know, the one thing that separates Man United under Solskjaer is that I get a feeling they're never going to be bigger than the sum of their parts, right? And that manifests itself in big games. I don't have the record in front of me, but I'm fairly certain that towards the late end of last season, United's record against the other big teams was quite poor, right? In the big games like that, what's Cristiano Ronaldo going to give you? Now, okay, you can make an argument he's going to give you a cool...
massive vertical jump in the box.
Yeah, well, he could pop up at a moment, right? He could pop up at a moment and he's going to be nerves of steel. He'll score a penalty. He'll leap 5 feet in the air and it'll be amazing and he'll score a header or he'll do something. But the margins in those games, you can't see a United with Cristiano Ronaldo leading the line playing for 90 minutes with the intensity you need to get a result against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, for example, or Liverpool. And their record against Man City is actually okay. But, you know, that kind of game, which really makes all the difference, I don't think you can make an argument that he is going to make the difference there in the right kind of way because he's not able to press, he's not able to put the work in. Mm.
Interesting the story this tells as well about the influential factors at Manchester United. Because, yeah, you've made the argument about how they couldn't, they almost couldn't afford for him to go to another rival club, to such a rival club.
Kind of happened with Alexis Sanchez as well, and that turned out badly. He hadn't played there before, but yeah. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah. But then the story is that Sir Alex Ferguson has repeatedly told the club to re-sign him. Most recently, okay, a couple of years ago in 2019, and said that all hell would have broken, and, you know, this idea that all hell would have broken loose. But also Rio Ferdinand heavily involved. You know, I don't know what that says about the idea that these guys are still having that level of influence.
It's a bit Succession, isn't it?
It is a bit.
Fuck off.
It's a little bit. Pete, I don't know what your take on it is, but for me, United are such a big brand and the people who play for them and play well for them and win things with them feel like, rightly or wrongly, I don't have a particular stake in it personally, but they feel like they're always going to be a part of this alumni that will have an influence.
Especially if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is their boss, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, because of his experience and his pedigree, or perhaps lack of it. Whether we like it or not, Sir Alex Ferguson's got a stand named after him. You know, Sir Alex Ferguson is along with Sir Matt Busby, Man United fans listening don't need us to tell them this, that he's the most important figure in Man United's history. So it's stupid on one hand to not use that experience and not help him, use him to help these things happen. But on the other hand, sometimes you've got, you know, at some point you're going to have to untie the apron strings, you know. And so I think if you've got a transfer target you want, forget that it's Ronaldo, but say you've got a transfer target you want, and you know that Rio Ferdinand, who's incredibly well respected among football players even now, even though he's been retired for a while, and Sir Alex Ferguson, whose name is kind of unrivaled in club football, particularly for the last 20 or 30 years, it's an incredible bonus to have them involved if you want them to be, to help influence, to help find, you know, to help kind of persuade people. Because a Man City, are they really going to have that? I don't think they will have that now, despite the fact they've got players who have just had statues put up about them.
Yeah. They're trying to cultivate it, effectively, aren't they?
And it's happening in real time now.
Yeah.
But David Silva isn't going to give you the same amount of influence as Sir Alex Ferguson is.
No.
I mean, it's just not going to happen. So
no.
So I think it can cut both ways, because it casts a long shadow as well, is what I was going to say.
And the sort of players they are, you know, like signing Ronaldo, like how much is he earning? Is it 20 million a year or something like that?
Is it for 5 years?
I believe so, yeah.
You said 41,
yeah.
That would make 41. It 5 years. Yeah. I didn't read the length of the contract.
But you know, you're selling Daniel James for 30 million.
Yeah.
Like, they're doing a certain amount of balance.
Does that money go straight in the Ronaldo
bucket?
Meter?
that's what I presume it is, yeah.
Yeah.
You're sort of going, right, we're getting rid of a 23-year-old to replace him with an eventual 41-year-old. We're all eventual 41-year-olds, mate.
It's true. Well, we're in... Just in a few weeks' time.
Oh, where's the party? Never has a party, does it? Never get the...
I had a surprise party for my 40th.
All right.
Yeah. But it's a very small thing because of COVID.
Very small. Yeah, great.
Pete, I was going to say, you have to factor into that point you're making about Daniel James, though, is that Daniel James is simply not that good. I think getting 30 million for Daniel James, I think, is a really, really good piece of business.
74 appearances.
Oh, he's played
a lot. That's amazing, isn't it?
I think that says more about Man United than anything else, personally.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think we have time to go into the relative merits of Daniel James. On the note of Rio, did you see that he said that he wanted to join Arsenal in 2014?
This is a great story.
He says, I saw Arsene Wenger in a hotel, all right? I said, Arsene, listen, I'm leaving Manchester United. If you want, I'll come and I'll try and help the dressing room, etc. I don't know. Because I think that you need help in that department. I will obviously play, but more
importantly... I will obviously play. That's non-negotiable.
I will come for the culture. He didn't take me up on the offer.
So... this is fascinating to me, because I do genuinely believe that he would have had a really positive influence on that club.
Yes.
And I don't think, Jim's been through the mill. We heard that yesterday. Jim's got to the stage where he's pleading with Marcus to not read tweets out by ex-players, that's rock bottom.
I know, I don't think it is.
Oh, you reckon he can go further?
I think there's, what do you think, Pete? I think there's further to go. Because in the room just now, wasn't I was saying, I feel like it's almost just bullying.
He knows what he signed up for.
Yeah.
if he wants to sit in that chair and celebrate an Arsenal FA Cup win, he's got to sit there and take it when they're rock bottom and have not scored a goal.
I completely agree. He signed that contract, like Mesut Ozil.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got
exactly.
Honour it.
Similar wages.
Yeah.
I think Ferdinand would have been an amazingly positive influence in that dressing room. But look, it's 7 years ago. I
mean, and he did ship out to QPR and play like 10 games or something. It's not like he had a great time there, did he?
Yeah, I'm going to reassess my opinion there, Pete, because you're absolutely right. That was the year he went to QPR and I was not that impressed with him. So the big issue I've got with that quote there is the bit where he says, I will obviously play.
You won't obviously play,
but he could have been a really good influence around the dressing room, and I maintain that for sure.
Yeah, well... Big Veng knows better. All right, what else have we got from this? Oh my goodness, that was a big... Sorry.
Big bang.
Punched the table.
Kate's big bang.
I didn't punch it. I was trying to give some like
thump.
Definition to the, to my point.
Yeah.
I think probably the main reminder we should do is don't trust anything you see on Twitter today.
It comes up twice a year. Always the same. Some little account pops up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Called at...
ATK.
Exclusive.
No,
yeah, at Premier League exclusive ITK.
Yeah.
Mark my words, this will happen. And if it doesn't, I'll get a tattoo of Everton's crest on my
back.
Well,
they always do loads of speculative tweets and then they delete the ones that aren't true. And they're like, look
correct.
What I did.
Exactly.
Look what I did.
It's actually quite clever. I think Luke Moore has been known to do.
Clever the first time.
No. Certain behaviours along those lines.
I drive by people and then delete.
Oh, like
you drop what you talk. He does.
The example, the most clear example of this, don't trust anything you see ever, is the Axel Witsel tweet, did you see, where some...
Linking him to Aston Villa.
Aston Villa, yeah. It was like, you know, those kinds of headlines, like, Villa are all in, or like, this is definitely happening, basically. And they got a response back from someone, presumably who they didn't recognise the name of, René Maric. He is the assistant coach at Borussia Dortmund. And to which the guy replied, always double down when you've said something idiotic. Yeah. I think we all agree that's the best way of living. He just replied, source.
Yeah, always.
And Maric replied with just a photo of him and Witsel.
It's always like women who write comics, and someone goes, "Have you even read this comic?" She's like, "I fucking wrote this comic, mate. It's so delicious."
David Simon, who wrote The Wire, to give that another, he goes through that all the time. Someone will say something about The Wire, and he'll reply saying, "That's not really what we were going for. That wasn't the message we were sending." So I said, "Well, I don't think you've seen The Wire." And his reply is, "I'm the writer of The Wire." The best example is, it was in the NFL a few years ago, when someone was speculating that a certain quarterback, it might have even been Tom Brady at the Patriots,
yes,
saying he wasn't going to play because he was injured. And the New England Patriots replied saying, he is going to play, he's fit, he's ready for a selection on Sunday. And to which the guy replied, source? And they replied again saying, us, the New England Patriots.
It's absolutely...
Twitter sends people mad.
It's absolutely brilliant. Palace are trying to land... Okay, so this is true news.
True news.
I think. Palace are trying to get hold of Celtic's odds on Edouard, which seems to me like a pretty good idea. I think
Celtic would be willing to sell because Furuhashi is having a lovely time up there.
Okay,
I keep talking about him, but he never gets in the running order.
All right, sorry, would you like to?
He's very good. He's having a nice time.
You've got a voice and you've got a microphone in front of you.
Yeah.
Shit. Finally, they platform that white man.
Go for it.
I like him. I think he's very good. He scores all kinds of goals and he's great signing for the Celtics. That's why they're getting rid of people they don't need.
And you respect Scottish...
Scottish Premiership, yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say I don't need him though, because I mean, sometimes you want more good players than less.
Yeah, I think that's almost always the case, isn't it? I can't think of any main examples.
Do you think the Scottish Premiership should have not gone for, you know, money's money, and you know, when offers get put on the table, you've got to kind of entertainment. But do you think that you should call your Premiership the Cinch Premiership because it is a cinch to win it?
Yeah. Like,
it's a terrible...
It's sponsored by Cinch.
Ali McCoy says, this is very, very simple for me on the subject of Edouard. I am swiping right if it is the Odson Edouard of a year ago. I guess it isn't, strictly speaking, Ali, but good point. It seems like an excellent buy potentially for Palace. On the subject of swiping right, René Adler, Germany goalkeeper, has set up a new online transfer platform that he's calling the Tinder for players and clubs.
It's not a Tinder chat this morning.
Apparently, I thought Tinder was over, but you know, write in and tell me, as I'm sure you will. Guys.
Just because you haven't got any matches doesn't mean it's over.
Wow, flabbergasted. Makes amazing.
Speechless at that.
Wowzers.
Finally.
She knew that any response would have made her sound terrible.
You know what? It was the same silence. So TalkSport are running this morning. I drove in for the third time. Dangerous. Yeah. They were doing a little thing where they were doing swipe right, swipe left. So that's why, it's mentioned that Ali McCoist said that. And Laura Woods and Ali McCoist both pretending they've never used Tinder or know what it is was hilarious. So they're both going, I don't know what it is. I don't know what swiping left is. I don't know what swiping right is. Chill out. Everyone uses it. Don't worry about it.
The point about Tinder, though, is apparently it is... Okay, don't look at me like that. Apparently, it is kind of more dead in the UK, right? But in Germany, that's still their kind of main one.
Oh, so that's why René's.
He's quoting that rather than being like, I don't know, Hinge or any of the other ones.
So René's new platform, René Adler's new platform, is to match players up with clubs. Then it's a nice idea.
I am swiping right.
There's loads of online portals that the football industry uses to match players up and to look at different information and stuff. Yeah. So I don't see why it's any particularly different.
Yeah, it was a bit like that. Don't you remember when we tried to get picked for like Burnley or something on that coaching platform? No, never mind.
I also remember the fact that Ben Brereton-Diaz, as he's now known, was able to get caps for Chile and a big Pepsi sponsorship deal because some people were playing Football Manager, so it can happen.
Well done, him. Oh man, he's such a great... guy.
Players have been called up before because their erroneously listed parents were in the wrong country on Football Manager. So you had players who had been called up and they don't actually have any heritage there.
It happens, baby. Mm. It happens.
Yeah, that'll be heartbreaking. Willian's out of Arsenal, guys.
He's finally...
Lots to unpack in this story. Yes. A lot to unpack.
So he says we've talked about him already, obviously. This was the whole story, was that the only way to do this and go to Corinthians, which is where he's gone, is if he was happy to tear up his £240,000 a week. Mm. That has 2 years left to run. So finally, he's become a hero at Arsenal.
Yeah, not in the way he envisaged, I wouldn't have thought.
What a guy!
And I've got to pipe up here because I defended this deal when he signed for them.
Mm. Did you?
To Jim. I said that if he's a good, robust character, then it will be exactly the type of player they need because he's won things, he's a senior
he's
pro.
Let it down.
It's not worked. Well, in his own words, you don't need to take my word for it. He said, unfortunately, it didn't happen for me at Arsenal, and I'm sorry about that.
But look at Thiago Silva at Chelsea at the weekend.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, that's exactly... I would have seen the exact same situation as you there, Luke. I thought you could bring a bit of... You need that kind of authority at the back.
Well, that says a lot to unpack there, is that I respect the fact that, you know, people can get blasé about the money. You know, a footballer, any footballer, would be thinking, to say the very least, would be thinking very, very deeply about setting fire to £20 million, whoever they were. So let's get that absolutely right. But that is massively tempered for me by the fact that he shouldn't run that deal anyway. Mm. Yeah. But that's not his fault. And now he's fronted up and said, look, it's not worked out for me. I'm going to do the decent thing. And I think he deserves a huge amount of respect for doing that.
Mm. Yeah, and
he doesn't deserve any respect for his performances, but he deserves a great amount of respect for that.
And I think it reflects really well on his new partnership with Charlie Kane as his agent.
I've got a great deal for you, William. Listen, you're going to love this, mate. Text me back. Thanks, bye.
All right, time to get to a break, guys, and then we'll come back from some more tasty transfers sponsored by Tinder.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
It's transfer deadline day. Ashwood City are drifting under manager Sven-Göran Eriksson and chief executive Patrick Nolan is willing to do whatever it takes to turn things round.
Oh, look, it's just for a season or two, you know. We get them really cheap, you know, 10% of what they're worth in some cases. And, I mean, the sponsors it would attract as well as the cachet.
Patrick Nolan, MBE, stop talking. This is a fucking Tevez and Mascherano player heist.
In the award-winning football mockumentary The Offensive, the thick of it meets the Premier League, and things are about to reach breaking point in the boardroom.
That's the rules, Woody.
Oh, so now we like the rules, do we?
Woody, you can't just move a piece and make up how to play.
Well, you don't get to tell me what I can and can't do.
No, move that back.
Fucking get off, don't touch my pieces, you're cheating.
What, you're cheating?
Cheating. That's
oh
an invasion
God.
Of
I'm
my
not
pieces,
cheating.
That.
You're
Stop
cheating.
Fingering my bishop, you
oh
don't know what he's
doing. It's not... Oh...
Start your Ashwood City journey and listen to The Offensive wherever you get your podcasts.
The Offensive is a Stack production.
Oh dear, look at these keepers.
Ooh, yeah, look
really,
at them.
Really carry on.
Yeah. Well,
it's like a carry on version of like Glenn Hoddle, kind of carry on Glenn Hoddle, I think that is.
Yeah, I mean, look at these keepers. Like, are they looking, is it a penalty shootout? How could he see both keepers at the same time? Was it like a long lingering shot from behind one of the goals?
I don't think we should assume he's out of game.
Look at his keeper.
That was recorded like 3 a.m.
Do you remember the advert for Keepers? The little kids.
Keepers,
like a little
yeah.
Keepers, Keepers. What's inside those keepers? He's browsing late on retro Lasses toys from the 80s on eBay.
Look at these keepers.
Oh, look at these keepers.
Second hand, though. I'll still buy them.
Really making me miss the Pete jingle there. Yeah. Look, thanks for bringing it to us. Here we go. You know if you got an email to show to me every time.
So it's a combination of email jingles we have. One, some of them have got really long tails where you can't help to speak over them. Some of them just end.
Yeah.
And that always catches me by surprise. But thank you very much for that email jingle. We've got an email here from Andy McMahon, and it is a belter. Hello to you, Andy, our friend Andy. He says, while working late at HMV in Gatwick Airport, possibly the most depressing opening sentence to an email
I've
ever
heard.
Isn't
it? Yeah.
Yeah. Like I say, it's not the most chilling sentence in football, because that is, of course, as I said a week or so ago, John Joe Shelby starts despite a lack of pre-season minutes. That's the most terrifying sentence.
Yeah, agree.
Andy McMahon's there was probably the most depressing. So he says, while working late at HMV in Gatwick Airport, I was joined by the then Liverpool manager, Gerard Houllier.
Cool.
Who was after an album by Louis Prima. I don't know who Louis Prima is, but...
Oh, good. I thought this was going to be one that I should have known.
And then while chatting to him about music, he asked who was playing on the in-store CD at the time. And so I was able to sell him a copy of my currently favourite album, of that time, Bonnie Prince Billy's I See a Darkness. Now, that is a deep indie cut, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to address this question at Pete, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That is a deep indie cut.
But he is beloved, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So I think he's going to get a lot of change out of that, to be quite frank.
But he's beloved by people who wear quite thick-rimmed glasses, those rolled-up woolly hats.
Mm. And drink beer with twigs in it.
Yes, exactly. Andy picks up the story by saying, I can only imagine what it did for team morale in the Anfield dressing room of the late 90s. I also served Alex Ferguson in the week after the Man United FA Cup final defeat to Everton in 1995. He bought albums by the Ink Spots and the Platters, and this is my favourite. the great Alan Ball, also bought one of the $9.99 four CD sets of Trojan Reggae we were playing, and he could not believe the value.
Now, I can't believe the value.
That story about Alan Ball buying a compilation of Trojan Reggae in the week that Lee Scratch Perry died is the tribute the man deserves. Thank you very much for that, Andy. That is my personal favourite in the selling things to footballers legally thing that we're doing at the moment.
It turns out as well, he's completely subverted your initial thought about working late in HMV in Gatwick Airport.
There's nothing depressing about that.
Yeah.
That's the kind of clientele you get, and it's fucking get,
sounds
sign
incredible.
Me up. Sign me up.
The Ink Spots are like it's 40s, 30s, and 40s. Good God, that is
old style.
That is old school.
Old school.
Hello to legit OG friend of the Ramble, Jenny Silver. Yesterday, I went to my team Gloucester City standard bank holiday. Right, well, for people in Gloucester, I imagine yes. This is my first game in a while, but it was also my first proper home game with my husband. Even though we met at a Gloucester City game quite a while ago, as in we've been together 11 years, married for 6, and we got 2 kids. But yeah, today was the first time we've watched a game together at home in Gloucester. Aww. When we met, Gloucester were a couple of years into exile after the ground was destroyed by floods back in 2007. After years of faffing about with the ground later, and then a year of COVID declared the league null and void when Gloucester were top. Finally, New Meadow Park is welcoming fans back. Last home game, we had a higher attendance than the League Two Forest Green Rovers, and there were 2,000 there again yesterday.
Come on!
The result was a bit shite, but the football is lush, isn't it? Or just football is lush, isn't it?
Kettering Town, 2-0.
That's one of your local teams.
It's one of my local teams. Yeah, I can't say if I've actually been down there, but perhaps... No, I know that they're performing in that way. Come on, the Poppies, get down to Latimer Park.
If you've been checking out any local grounds, you've been a fair weather friend of.
I went to Spurs on Sunday. Does that count?
It does not. Over the past few weekends.
You didn't support them. You didn't wave the flag. I could have lent you my flag, actually.
Just let us know. Short@footballramble.com.
Don't worry about the name address. Kate's talking about a flag. It's much more important.
You're going to protect my flag. Or you can tweet us at Football Ramble.
Yeah, why not?
There you go. Right, time for this.
I prefer to kill him.
Great link.
Little tip on Sky Sports, Kate, if you just want to just scream for a bit. Yeah. Just defend. It's the break! Roll VT break!
It's like Partridge news. This is the first time I've ever played Portmanteau.
I had no idea that was the case. I'm so sorry, Luke.
Such on the peccadilloes of the schedule. I think that the production staff wanted to keep me away from it, Pete.
Yeah.
So I think I'll smash it out of the park.
The thing is, you can't really, based
we
on
work
the
together,
most recent...
Do we?
Oh, you can't. Yeah,
no, you don't work together.
Oh, okay.
You are adversaries.
If you heard Vish do it the other day, he got both of them before the fucking thing Jinglewood played.
He's very good.
It's the most oppressive game. It's so stressful to listen to because the time you get is so short. Mm. So I need to get in the zone now.
Okay, sorry. Yeah.
Right. Are you ready?
Yes.
Yeah, Pete. I've never played it, so can you just remind me of the rules?
Two footballers.
Yeah.
Mashed together.
Yeah.
You just got to figure out who the hell it is
before Conte says
you want to kill me.
And that is actually quite misleading because quite often they're not really mashed together.
No.
So all I'd do if you can is just try and think of the two footballers, and if it doesn't connect, don't worry about it.
I haven't done this particular game before, but I have worked with Pete.
Fair. That is fair. Right. A couple of portmanteau Contes for you guys from James Everard.
Thanks,
here
James.
We go. I am an Arsenal legend who won the World Cup for France, and I am an Arsenal legend who won the World Cup for France.
What?
Emmanuel Petit-Henri.
Stop
oh, come
it!
On! Gosh. Yes! Well done, Lukey. Well, that was fantastic.
You got them the right way.
Yeah. You got them the right way around as well.
How did you get it the right way around?
It's a mind bender.
I was trying to think of Henri. Anyway, yeah.
Could you have got away with Thierry Henry and Emmanuel Petit?
That's what
my brain kept telling me at the start.
All right then. Good job. Clue from Paul Duncan. Thank you, Paul. I won the 2010 World Cup Golden Ball, but I initially trained to become a tennis player. And I am the joint top scorer of my country with 57 goals, one of which was a fantastic last minute equaliser against Algeria in the 2010 World Cup. I was then controversially left out of my country's 2014 World Cup squad. It's a long clue, but it's a good one.
Diego Landon Donovan.
And the long clue has meant that Luke Lua, two for
hey!
Two.
Probably want to sound like jingle there, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh,
do you know what?
The people on
Twitter who like listening to Round but don't like me being smug are going to have a terrible day today.
Yeah, you better make the next part of this show very short, Kate, because Luke will be the cat that got the cream.
Well, we budgeted 4 minutes for that section, so.
I apologise. Well, I feel like I've let everybody down.
That was fun, though.
You always say that when you win things.
I wasn't up against much, was I, to be fair?
I didn't say fucking words.
No.
I just thought I could say Thierry Henry and that could be the answer.
Sadly not.
Well done, Luke. You've done really well. Mm-hmm. Also doing really well is Troy Deeney. He's come to the end of his time at Vicarage Road. He was out of contract next summer, but 11 years of Watford. He is gone to Birmingham City. And can we pay a bit of homage to... Troy Deeney and his amazing life story. Probably the Championship playoff semi-final in 2013 will come up.
Oh, I think I watch that video weekly. It's so,
so
good.
Great. But for me as well, what represents him is that when they got to the final of the FA Cup, do you remember? And they came from 2-0 down in 2019, came from 2-0 down against Wolves, and he took the penalty. He had to take the penalty as an equaliser. That was great. But then afterwards, he was just like so pumped about it, and he was like, you know, we're just, no one backs us, we're just you know, at this level,
it's
and we've excelled ourselves, and we're going to rough them up. As it turned out, they didn't quite rough up Manchester City in the final, but you know, it was a great day.
He's a force of nature, and I think his story is a really interesting one. It's obviously not entirely a positive one. It's in some cases quite a difficult one. But the journey he's been on as a footballer isn't your typical journey that you find with players coming through now. And he's obviously signing for his local club from where he grew up. He's never actually played for them before. So he started his career at Chelmsley Town in the non-league. And I feel like he's really passionate about going back and playing at Birmingham, which is a great story in itself. But what Deeney's been able to achieve as a player with a difficult sort of set of circumstances to start with and some, you know, let's be honest, some difficult mistakes along the way that he's to be fair to him, taken full responsibility for and said that he's learnt from and all the rest of it. And you know, good for him. I think it's an interesting and potentially quite like romantic end to a career, because, you know, if you've never had a chance to play for your the club you've supported your whole life, and now you're getting an opportunity to do that at 33, which is towards the twilight of your career as a footballer, it's a, you know, it's a great thing. And if he can apply the professionalism that he's shown in his peak years at the club that he clearly loves, and that's going to be a good thing for Birmingham, who have started the season reasonably well. So I think it's an interesting story, and I like that he spent so long at 11 years at Watford, spent so long there, that he's going home. And I imagine it'll be mixed emotions for him, because I'm sure he loves Watford deeply, but he's going back somewhere where he can feel really at home as well. So it's a great story.
He does own a podcast company, so fuck him.
Does he? Right, we're fucking scratching that then.
Edit that out.
You didn't tell me he was a rival. Just get him in a port of Antonio Conte if he's going to play with the big boys. Hey, outrageous scenes.
Get fucked. Yeah.
He says, I feel sadness and loss, similar to losing a family member, Pete. So don't be mean to him. Most of all, I feel tremendous pride at what I've achieved over the past 11 years and the friendships and connections we've made.
I think, joking aside, though, if he has got any tips about how to make podcasts, just give us a shout.
Microphones, compressors.
We're floating around here.
Have you seen what Barnsley have been up to?
Now, this is the story. For me, this is the story of the day.
Yeah.
And we saved the best for last.
Yeah, I think fair enough. Yeah. Coach Herman Paul Conway has been answering questions about their recruitment. Is that a good idea? Do you want to say that? Do you want to? I suppose it is. Open things up. Get the Glazers on there. Mm. We really, really need players who want to play for Barnsley, who want to be at our club. Seems pretty basic. We reached agreements with three different Premier League clubs for three players we felt it would be ideal for us to have in terms of their talent. One of these players told us we'd need to pay him 40% more to play for Barnsley.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was like specifically about Barnsley or if that was just his sort of negotiation point. But
well,
anyway.
If it is specifically about Barnsley, I think it's a disgrace to the beautiful part of the world that is South Yorkshire.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Good. Yes. Mm. You win over some listeners for a change. That was a short
it's not my specialist subject, to be honest.
That was a short conversation, says Paul. The third one is the funniest, he goes on to say. We had a signed transfer agreement. We'd agreed personal terms, we'd done the medical, and the player was scheduled to do his media pieces before signing the contract, and then he just drove away.
I wonder who
emergency.
That was.
Emergency.
Where did he go? And he just left the club, got in his car, and left.
Maybe he'll be back today. You don't know. It reminds you, like, I remember.
Do we know who the player is and we just can't say it, or did he not say it was?
I don't.
Right.
I don't think
he's going to do it. Could you do it with like hand signals so I know who it is?
Antonio Conte.
Exactly. Yeah, then you go. I was reading an interview with the bloke who ran the Brixton Academy when it first opened and stuff, and they found it quite difficult to get big.
You mean
headliner.
The venue, not the academy venue. For football players?
No. Yeah. No, yeah.
The O2 Academy, Brixton.
Yeah.
All right, the O2 Academy, fine.
For sponsorship reasons.
I hate that they own everything.
Yeah.
The Brixton Academy. And he was basically saying that he found it very hard to get big. Big headlining act to play the Brixton Academy. Obviously a very different situation now, it's an iconic venue, etc. But back then he had to kind of rely on kind of unmanaged sort of dance hall, like reggae artists and stuff. And the amount of times he'd have a full Brixton Academy and backstage the bloke would just go, I want twice my money.
Really? Shaking
or
him
I'm
down.
Not going on. And it would happen every single weekend and he just had to do
Why
it.
Why didn't we do it on the ramble? What?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's actually really inspired.
It's a good idea.
Don't give Mason negotiation tips for our next contract at the ramble.
Extortion is a good idea.
Pay what you think it's worth when you're locked in. Pay what you think this key is worth.
I would advise you to not go down that road, Kate.
I'm starting OnlyFans.
3 weeks.
Pay what you think I'm worth. Depends who you're asking, is all I'm saying.
I said I'm starting an OnlyFans.
Oh, okay.
Myself.
Oh, yes.
No, I was talking about Kate on the ramble.
Right.
They're no longer letting poor... They're back down for
they
that.
Are.
No,
they are.
They are.
So you're happy
tops
about
are
that?
Off again.
Your tops off, your nipples are out again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pete, the good thing about the ironic thing about that though being that Pete, you don't really need to take your top off for people to see your nipples.
No, yeah,
it's so powerful.
It's like a free demo.
They will go through, and I've seen this
on
in my
the front
own
of
eyes.
A magazine.
They'll go through t-shirt, shirt, and jumper,
cardigans. Yeah.
Are we objectifying Pete? Is this allowed? Are you feeling okay?
Drink it in, everyone. Enjoy it.
I think that answers your question.
Feast on my titty bounty.
Well, in that case, are your nipples like especially large, or are they just very pointy?
Powerful. Very pointy, powerful. Yeah, like church pegs.
Oh, JCB starter buttons.
Is that the end of the show?
Yeah,
I think so. No time for Ainsley Maitland-Niles.
Do you want to talk about Ainsley Maitland-Niles?
It's a good move.
I don't think it's respectful to him to go back to Ainsley Maitland-Niles after that. I think we are now... We are now at the end of many things, and this episode is one of them.
Aisley, we crammed you in, but you were just after Pete's nipples in the running order.
Exactly. Sorry. We wish you all the best. Yeah.
No one's looking at you, because I've got my nips.
Sorry about Arsenal. What can you do?
Yeah.
On tomorrow's show, it's me, it's Luke,
yes.
And Vish has subbed in.
Subbing Pete out for Vish.
Yeah.
Vish has got pretty decent nip-nips.
Has he?
From memory, I think he's spoken about them before.
You've got Vish as your screensaver on your phone, haven't you? Not his nipples.
Is it still?
He saw that recently. And
he saw that? What, so you were just hiding it?
Yeah,
from?
He kind of forgot that
just
it was on
weirder
there.
Weirder and weirder.
It's been months.
That's one in the eye for all the people who say we don't get on, eh?
Mm. Yeah, exactly, there
Some
we go.
Some of us get on entirely too well.
Yeah. What do you mean by that?
All right.
Sex.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's please. Say goodbye, Pete.
Ta-ta.
Say goodbye, Luke.
See ya.
Lovely to see you. Take care. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around the duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.